This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Threezy. After three defeats on the bounce and three games without a win in League One, AFC Wimbledon are back. Yes, they are. A home win against Gillingham yesterday. A goal from Scotty Wagstaff, of course, a former Gillingham player. Not the only one in Wimbledon's team yesterday. Of course not. And have you heard her? No. That was George Jones right there from the 9 Years podcast. And this is, of course, the AFC Wimbledon fan show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, all the details are all the same. You know them by now, but I'm going to read them out again. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number or tweet us, as you always like to do, at Love Sport Radio. George, a victory yesterday, a clean sheet yesterday. You must be buzzing.
Yeah, we definitely needed it. I came on the show last week expecting us to lose at Doncaster, which, you know, ended up happening. But we're saying Gillingham was the huge game. We needed to build momentum. And we got the result, and that's what matters. The performance wasn't our best of the season, but we managed to get the result, grind out the result. And at this stage of the season, we're 3 points clear of the bottom three. And I'm starting to look upwards rather than downwards.
Yes, he's looking upwards. Everybody, breaking news, get the fog-ons out, get the hooters out. George is looking upwards.
We have got Bolton in our next game, so that is going to come back to bite me.
Well, I mean, they were brought back down to earth, weren't they, with an almighty bang, of course, against Accrington. 7-1 there. By the way, if we're looking at goal difference, that could be proved to be crucial come May, of course. But Southend again without a win, so they're still on 5. Bolton still on 1, of course, not getting that points deduction that we discussed last week.
Well, the EFL are going to appeal that, so
you're desperate for them too.
I think every club in the bottom half is quite desperate for Bolton to get another 6 points, because we don't want them picking up too much.
Matt, I think you're safe. I'm not saying you're definitely safe, but I think Bolton are definitely going down. I just cannot see them clawing back, even if they don't get the points deduction. I personally, I don't see that coming. But AFC Wimbledon, let's talk about the goal. Lovely goal.
Yeah, no, it was a really well worked goal. The replay of it was, it really showed how well it was. Callum Riley played a lovely pass from the inside, a good turn, played it out to Mitchell Pinnock, who sent it out to the right for Waggy. You know, so all three of those players are players, well, two of those three have played for Gillingham. So, and the fact was that after Waggy, which was a good finish, it was a really good finish actually, they all celebrated, which against a former club we don't always see. But you do enjoy it seeing when one of your players scores against a former club and celebrates.
Well, it's the bone of contention, this, isn't it? Because on one hand, I don't know, listen, you've got players, if you've got a player who's a club legend, right? A player who's an absolute club legend and scores against his former club, I get that. Cristiano Ronaldo not celebrating against Manchester United. Harry Kane, if he was to leave Spurs and score against Spurs, you know, give me an AFC Wimbledon legend, George.
Oh, Kedwell,
there you go. If he came back and scored against AFC Wimbledon, right, and then celebrated like a madman, you'd be fuming, right?
Yeah.
But he probably wouldn't. He'd probably give the respect.
Yeah, but he didn't celebrate. And that's the thing. If it's your former player, you would hate it if he celebrated against you, no matter, even if he was, you know, someone who your fans really didn't like. So if Jake Jervis one day came and scored against us and he celebrated, we wouldn't like that, even though our fans gave him stick. But seeing an opposition player, one of our current players, celebrate against a former club, that is brilliant. Especially when it's the Steve Evans side. That really does make it even better.
Such a man of double standards, you, George
definitely.
Jones. I tell you. Because at the same time as well, I think that everyone goes, oh, you know, he didn't want to disrespect his old club. Well, actually, by not celebrating, he's kind of disrespecting his current club.
Yeah.
You're his current employer, so go and celebrate.
Yeah, we did have a story when we played Portsmouth a couple of years ago, and Matt Tubbs scored for us and didn't celebrate because in his head he knew we'd be joining Portsmouth when the transfer window opened in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yes. That hasn't gone down well with our fans since Matt Tubbs left.
Wow, that is controversial. In terms of the performance itself, gutsy, just like you said, one of those that you just needed to get over the line.
Yeah, it was one of those. We got a lot of help from the referee, which, I mean, anyone who knows Steve Evans can imagine how he was behaving on the touchline when the referee was giving absolutely everything in favour of us. And it is a nice change, because the number of times I've come on this show this season moaning about referees, and finally we had one who was awful, but awful in our favour. And it was brilliant. He even managed to send one of their boys off at the end. It was absolutely hilarious watching Evans react.
Well, I mean, talk to me about this, because the sending off for Pringle was a bit of an odd one, Ben Pringle, because I've looked at that over and over again, and it was for a descent, right?
Yeah.
So, but it seemed like there was an absolute mad situation in the box. There was carnage. Players were having right goes at each other. So yeah. What was the issue? I know that Gillingham wanted a corner.
Yeah, Gillingham wanted a corner. It was, from my view, it was definitely a corner, 100%. Every day of the week, it's a corner. Referee gave a goal kick. Like I said, he was doing this all game, gave everything for us. Their players reacted very poorly because it was pretty much the last action of the game. And they knew that goal kick, it was game over pretty much. And all their players charged in. It was, no one behaved brilliantly. And I can only imagine what Ben Pringle said to get a straight red card being only on the pitch for 4 minutes. But I can't imagine the FA will look very favourably on it when they review the match report on Monday morning.
Well, dissent for me now is quite a funny thing because I think it's difficult to gauge because all you have to see on TV is a player getting caught on camera saying horrendous things yeah. to officials constantly yeah. throughout the game. So when you hear that a player is sent off for dissent, you think, wow, he must have gone deep yeah. because referees get it all the way through yeah. the game, and it astounds me that more players aren't sent off. And people go, oh, you need to stamp that out of the game. It's one of all the arguments that always gets thrown at footballers when they compare football to rugby, because you hear everything that goes on a rugby pitch, and apparently rugby's full of professionals and upstanding young gentlemen. And with regards to football, just louts who just swear at the referee all the time. Well, that being the case, they should be sent off from minute one through to minute 90, but it never seems to happen. So whatever Ben Pringle said, it must have been yeah. something pretty shocking.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'd imagine this will not be the last we hear about it, because I'd imagine they'll be hearing about it, because for something to have been said that bad, you will assume he will get an extended ban rather than just the standard 3 games. And if that's the case, the FA will probably have to say something about it.
Yep, indeed they will. We actually spoke to a Gillingham fan last night on the League One post-match fan show as well. Darren Stock from the Gills in the Blood Injury Time podcast came on the line, and he gave his opinion on the game. And I have to say, he wasn't overly happy.
On paper, it's not great, but the performance was absolutely superb from us today. Wimbledon definitely got away with one. First half, we were pretty much camped in their half of the field, and they had one shot and went in at the break, a goal up. Second half, we weren't as good, but we still was the more dominant team. We spoke to a few fans, a few Wimbledon fans. We come out the ground, and they said the same as well, that they just couldn't see how we didn't get anything from that game. As I said last week when I spoke to you, I think we're missing that striker, which proved today we wasn't clinical. We had more than enough chances to win the game. And the ref was absolutely diabolical. It didn't help our calls either.
In what sense? Just not booking the wrong people, not giving the right results? Of course, we saw Pringle get sent off late on.
Yeah, no one really knows what that's for. honestly, we're not quite sure what happened. I spoke to a few Wimbledon fans. One thinks that he put his arm on the ref. We've watched it back. Pringle approaches the ref but doesn't touch him. I'm not sure if it's something he said, but he gets a straight red for it. But we had a few penalty shouts today, and we've watched a few clips back, and should be at least 2 given. So it's very frustrating. And Steve Evans gets a lot of stick for berating the officials, but I've got to defend him and say the Wimbledon manager Hodges was terrible, always in the fourth official's ear today, was non-stop by his side. And Steve Evans gets a bad rep, but he didn't do a lot wrong today, in my opinion.
Terrible, he said. Terrible was Glyn Hodges. That was Darren Stock from the Gills in the Blood Injury Time podcast speaking to myself, actually, on the League One post-match fan show last night. At the time, weren't aware of actually what had happened with the sending off. Of course, now we have that clarification that it definitely was for dissent. But do you agree with what he said about Glyn Hodges there? Was Glyn Hodges terrible on the touchline?
Well, where I sit during the match through the volunteering role I do, you can see Glyn and see opposition fans to him. And he is one of these managers who is constantly in the fourth official's ear. But that's what you like.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you like that? I mean, you don't like Steve Evans. What are the reasons you don't like Steve Evans for?
Well, I think Steve Evans is more because of his background more than the way he behaves towards a fourth official. But again, it's one of these players who... There are numerous players who we can all say, yeah, we hate that player. But if he played for your club, you'd love him. Just Bayo Akinfenwa, one of those players. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of those players, because the only way, especially in the lower leagues, the only way you get any decision from the referee is shouting louder than the opposition. And we've finally learned that after, 8 years now, being a Football League club, we've finally learned that we have to shout louder than the opposition to get a free kick. And we shouted louder than Steve Evans, and the ref gave us everything. and Steve Evans was throwing a little tantrum on the sideline, and it was absolutely hilarious.
You really loved it, didn't you?
Yes.
I have to say, what we didn't hear from that fan there, Darren, was that he was talking about Callum Riley and the fact that Steve Evans didn't fancy him. He would think he was on trial with Gillingham during the summer, and then you guys picked him up.
Yeah, he was with them last season, and they released him in order for us to sign him.
Yeah, and he was pretty gutted about that, because obviously played a part in the goal yesterday. Yeah. Luke O'Neill as well, you know, another Gillingham lad, former Gillingham lad. I think he was involved in the sending off as well, right? He was there giving a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah. Now, he was one of those who, it's similar to Barry Fuller, who was played against us for Gillingham. He used to play for us as well. Those players who, they effectively can they tell the referee what he should be doing and effectively bully the referee into sending an Oppo player off just by being constantly in his ear saying, are you going to let him speak to you like that, ref, and all of that, all through the game. And because Gillingham players were, it was niggly stuff. They were going over easy and all of those little things that, you know, slightly annoy a referee, but he lets you get away with it. And then something was said towards the referee towards the very, very close to the end of the game when the referee probably thinks he's had a good game. I mean, let's be honest, he probably was called a cheat or something similar. And that's probably the constant talking from O'Neill saying, are you going to let him speak to you like that? That's probably what made the referee just, you know, be slightly harsher than he otherwise might have been.
Mm. Okay, George.
But that's what I'm saying. The dark arts of football, we've never done it before. We're just starting to do it. And in order to survive, especially in the lower leagues, you need to be really good at it.
Yeah, you do. I agree with you on that one. Another man who looked like he was pretty good yesterday, Mitch Pinnock.
Yeah, Mitch,
involved in the game.
Yeah, Mitch Pinnock, Callum Riley. For me, they're the best games they've had for us for a very long time. Mitch Pinnock looked a bit more energetic. He looked a bit more up for it. He got in a role in the in our goal. He controlled the ball well, played off a good pass to Wagstaff. And it was just one where we came out of the traps and we wanted it. It was clear that for us, there was a feeling at the ground as well that our season really could have come down to yesterday. You look at...
Really? That crucial?
Yeah, I mean, it's a team that we're playing in the bottom half of the table. You look at the other teams sort of in the bottom three, bottom four, who all were playing sides that you could see them winning against. You know, Oxford are a bit inconsistent. Rotherham, again, they're not always 100% on their game. So for us, we thought if we lose and the other teams win, we could be 3 points cut off adrift with potentially a resurgent Bolton in our next game. And instead now, with 3 points clear, you've got Bolton who... I mean, no one knows how they're going to react in 2 weeks' time in their next game after what happened to them, after taking the lead against Accrington as well. So for us now, we just have to look and try and build on it. And I think all of our players wanted it, and it was that energy and that passion. And I've got a stat that we made nearly twice as many blocks as them over the course of 90 minutes. And it was a real bodies-on-the-line performance from us, and we haven't seen that since last season. And that's what you need to do to stay up in League One.
It definitely is. We've also got word from Glyn Hodges, of course, speaking his mind after the game.
The pleasing thing is that, you know, we've got a young team, and some of the players in that team have never come up at anything like that. You know, a strong, fit, organised team who don't give you a minute, and you know they keep the tempo high, and they're going to put you under pressure. And I'm full of confidence after their, you know, the weak result against Sunderland. So it's something new to them, but they stood up and they, you know, we try to explain to them. You can explain to them what's going to happen and how it's going to be, but unless you actually taste it and see it for yourself, you know, you're never going to know. So the pleasing thing that we did, we stood up to it, we got the win, and you know, if it comes again, you know, they've got the confidence now that they can deal with it.
That was Glyn Hodges speaking after the victory yesterday against Gillingham. You okay, George?
Yeah.
Shaking your head slightly there?
No, not at all.
No?
No.
Not entirely happy with Glyn's comments?
No, I'm entirely happy with what Glyn was saying. He's saying all the right things about us. You know, yesterday was always going to be a battle. Games against the Steve Evans side, they're always a battle. And for us, I mean, we've got a very, very young team. But the senior players, for me, yesterday was the first time all of our senior players stood up to be counted and helped our kids through it. And that's what made the difference yesterday.
Okay. When we look at the results as well in League Two, like you said, yes,
we've won. We're not in League Two yet.
League One.
Give us till May.
Sorry, crikey, oh no. I'm going to get backlash for that, aren't I? Can we dub that out, Dave? Somehow can we dub that out? League One, of course. Sorry. Yes, when you look at the results in League One, AFC Wimbledon are now 3 points clear of that relegation zone. It was an incredible day, of course. Another team in North Bucks going 2-0 up and then losing quite incredibly. I think that's 9 defeats in 10 for them. Southend, as we know, 4-0 against Oxford. Bolton, 7-1 against Accrington. And Tranmere losing against Fleetwood as well, who, by the way, have started, I think, at home the best ever in the club's history. So results pretty much bar Accrington. But then Accrington did go for you, really.
Yeah, Accrington really did go for us, because as far as we're concerned, we're at that stage of the season now where, unlike other years where you're saying you want as many teams in and around it as possible, this year you've already identified the four teams that could finish below us. And that's, well, Tranmere, Southend, the team from Buckinghamshire and Bolton. They're the four teams who realistically could finish below us. So as far as we're concerned, even if a team like Gillingham or Accrington, who will be in that bottom half, beats one of them, the result still goes in our favour. And that was it. There was a stage at half-time where results were not going completely in our favour everywhere else. But as the news obviously came towards the end, where Rotherham had scored a last-minute winner, obviously Southend had fallen apart, Bolton fell apart, Tranmere lost heavily. You know, that's really given the whole club a confidence boost. Because now it's not just that we've picked up a result and we might be able to go on and build a bit of momentum and win some more points. It's looking like the teams around us are failing to get any points at all at the moment. And there's even a talk of, you know, will 40 points be enough this year? When normally you need upwards of 50.
Crikey. Will 40 points be enough?
Personally, I think it'll be about 45 this year.
Yeah.
But we mustn't forget there is a this division is one team light this season. But, you know, it's one of those things. But I do think 45 will be enough this year, and we're getting closer to it, which is all we can do.
Okay, well, a good evening to Mod Womble. You have messaged in, as we would expect. Nice timing, I have to say, about 1/4 hour into the show. Mitch Pinnock has been excellent since Hodges has been in charge. He says, George, he seems to have a new lease of life. Also, Wagstaff has been absolutely magnificent since he became captain.
Yeah, Wagstaff's been absolutely incredible. Since he moved to right wing back and Luke O'Neill moved to right centre back, they've really linked up well. They were together at Gillingham. They've really linked up well. And it's something that we're going to talk about later at Meet the Manager. But Glyn Hodges mentioned it, that we're trying to copy what Sheffield United did with the overlapping centre backs. So having effectively a full back on the right side of that back three, especially someone like Luke O'Neill, with, we all know what a good crosser of the ball he is, with the number of assists he's got already this season. Having someone like him and Wagstaff both on that right, it really causes panic for defenders when effectively they're being doubled up on. When on paper, we're only playing one on the right, whereas all of a sudden they look up and there's two players running at them. So it really does help like that. Mitch Pinnock, I think he's certainly done better than under Glyn than he did under Wally. He's still not the complete player for me. I still think he struggles with energy and with fitness. But yesterday was certainly his best game for us in a long time.
Good stuff. Well, this is the AFC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport. Next up, we're going to be reflecting on not the victory over Gillingham, but that defeat in the FA Cup to Doncaster.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the AFC Wimbledon fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by George Jones of the 9 Years podcast. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's very easy to do so. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio, which is exactly what Mark Hendricks has done. And he has said, George, that he agreed. It was a bodies on the line performance by AFC Wimbledon yesterday. Always nice to see the club do one over Steve Evans. But for many moments, the 90th minute, I felt karma would bite us after us snatching a draw against Lincoln. We need to change our away hoodoo now.
Yeah, we do. The away form's a worry, but the performance yesterday, like I said, it was bodies on the line. There was moments of panic. I mean, they had a shot from range that was curling from my angle. I have no idea how it didn't end up going in, but it managed to kill just wide. We rode our luck at times. There was a bodies on the line performance and we got a home win. And our home form now is actually really impressive. So if we can sort out the away form, we're well on our way to, you know, trying to move a couple of places clear of the bottom three.
You mentioned, by the way, I didn't pick up on this, and forgive me if we've spoken about this before, and we may well have done, but we do a lot on this station, and I often forget when you've said things to me, George. Your voluntary role on a match day.
Yes.
What does this entail?
I do lots. I volunteer in the shop, and I'm at the moment on the stretcher team as well.
Are you?
Yes.
So on the side of the pitch, so you're...
Sitting on the side of the pitch next to the dugout, which means I get an interesting view and can listen to a few interesting things being said from both dugouts during the game.
Wow, so you saw firsthand what Steve Evans was like on the touchline yesterday.
Yeah, like I said, it was pretty funny.
Was it?
Yeah.
Have you ever been on the pitch? Have you ever had to come on?
Yeah, I've been
As
on...
As in, had
yeah,
to take
yes,
someone off?
Yeah, once.
Really?
We had a player who... Trying to remember who it was now in the Everton game, the boy who did his ankle.
Seamus Coleman?
No, I think it was Everton. I can't remember who it is. He dislocated his ankle. this season. I can't remember who it was, but we had a player who had the same injury at Kings Meadow.
Oh, Andre Gomez. Sorry.
Yes, right. Andre Gomez, that's it. A player had the same injury at one of our, it was an under-18s game played at our stadium, and we had to carry a player off with the same injury. It wasn't pretty.
Oh, crikey, mate. I can't imagine that it would have been. Credit to you, mate, for doing that. I wasn't aware of that. We are going to move on now to something you probably don't want to talk about, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Doncaster Rovers in the FA Cup did deny AFC Wimbledon a chance to get into the second round, of course, 2-0 at the Keep Moat Stadium. You were there.
Yes.
A rather sparsely populated Keep Moat Stadium, I should say. What? How many crammed in there? 3,000, 3,500?
Yeah, if that. And there were about 200 odd of us. Which, wow. It's damning on the FA Cup. I mean, you look at all of these teams, lower division clubs, you know, League 1 and 2 especially, a couple in the Championship, but you look at their grounds for FA Cup games and the crowds are really low. Even us, our crowds are much lower for an FA Cup game than they would be for a league game. And it just shows you how the way that the top teams treat the FA Cup sort of impacts on the way the lower teams care about it, because we care about it less when we see it on TV with the big teams playing their reserves. It loses that bit of magic that the Cup once had.
Mm. Although, I do get what you're saying, but the magic does still... I mean, you say that to Maldon and Tiptree.
Yeah, no, it still exists. It's one of those where people don't turn up for these games until you get that game.
Yeah.
Until we got Liverpool at home or Tottenham away or West Ham at home last season. Those are the games where all of a sudden the magic is back in it. But when you get Doncaster at home and then it goes to a replay and you have to go to a Doncaster on a Tuesday night, and then potentially we would have had to have gone to Sunderland for a 2 p.m. kickoff on a Sunday in the next round, it's not quite the magic competition it once was, in my opinion.
Really? So that's you're completely ruling out. But what about last? You can't say that after last season.
Yeah, no.
You're saying it's changed in the matter of a few months.
No, it's one of those where even last year when we got to it and we had... It's the ties. That's what I'm saying. For the smaller clubs, it's magic. And when you're playing in a game against... Like last year when we played Haringey or when we played Halifax and when we played West Ham. When you're playing teams for them it's their cup final, or that it's your cup final when you're hosting a Premier League team, then it's a very magical competition. But the problem is, it just seems for so many teams now, you're getting a team in the same league as you. And you even look at it, the number of ties this year that we're in the first and second round at the moment, the number of all non-league ties still in the competition, I don't know, maybe you have to look at maybe seeding it to try and ensure the non-league clubs get their big payday.
So you think there should be a change of format? Because what's changed? Because when you say the magic of the FA Cup has gone, so then what has changed in order to make that magic go? Because when AFC Wimbledon were a non-league club, you know, getting a League 2 club for you was one heck of a result.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you're playing non-league clubs, it does feel, because for them, it's their cup final. For like when we played Haringey last year, biggest thing for them, biggest game in their history, they were over the moon. And like for us, when we played Liverpool at home or Tottenham away in previous years, or when we hosted West Ham and beat them last season, it's a magical competition. But I just think you maybe need to look at formatting it in a way that make those games more regular. Because like Kingstonian have got to a second round of the competition, and really they haven't played a proper Football League side. I know they beat Macclesfield, but we all know what the situation around that game was. They've got to the second round of the FA Cup. They've got a good Conference Premier side, so they haven't had their proper day, despite having two sort of first or second round games. So for me, I think you need to look at that to try and make sure those non-league clubs get rewarded for reaching the first and second round.
So in terms of a seeding scenario that you're suggesting, Are we looking as well as what they did? I mean, I have to say, one of the better things they did for the Carabao Cup, the League Cup, was to introduce penalty shootouts and introduce just the one game. Yes, the two-legged thing was quite fun for a period, but you're right, it was a bit much. So now it's just one game. Do you think that with regards to FA Cup ties, they don't go to replays and you just have them decided?
It's one of those where it is difficult, because like when we played a non-league team last season, or when you're playing a non-league team, if like when Kingstonian did go to Macclesfield like in the first round, even though it wasn't their proper team, if they'd have got a replay to get them at their place, or if we'd have drawn against Tottenham and got a replay at our place, or if we'd drawn against Liverpool and been able to go to Anfield, you know, there is a place for it. But I think the way to do it is maybe format it to make it so in the first and second round it's as close as you can to Football League versus non-league, to try and make sure that the non-league clubs get their payday And, you know, and then in the third round, obviously, maybe Premier League clubs have to visit a, you know, the 20 lowest ranked clubs and try and maybe format it that way to try and make sure that it retains that magic.
If you had one against Doncaster, do you think that, and I'm not trying to start an argument here, but if you'd have beaten Doncaster, do you think you'd still have this point of view? Of course, a trip to Gillingham, who you just played.
Yeah, exactly. We would have just played Gillingham, who we would be playing the second time in 2 weeks. And like Doncaster, we're playing them in...
Mad how that little scenario's worked out.
But I think we're playing Doncaster in 3 weeks' time, so we would have played them three times in just over a month. Mm. You know, that's what I'm saying. You need to maybe make it so they can't play teams in the same league as them.
But is that not a little quirk sometimes of football, those things happen?
But you look how many times it happens, especially in the first couple of rounds of the competition. Even the number of non-league sides that have to play other low-ranked non-league sides in it. I just think something needs to happen so that all of the teams are rewarded for getting as far as they can in the competition.
Okay, well, we're going to reflect on the game just quickly because there's not too much to dwell on, I suppose. Goals from James Coppinger, the wily old campaigner, and Rakesh Bingham as well, you said, came on, of course, and scored just shortly after coming on.
Yeah, no, it was one of those games where, first off, we played reasonably well. They weren't at their best. It was not a great game, if we're honest. We played reasonably well, like I said, but then the second Coppinger got the first and it went 1-0. It was pretty much game over. And then Bingham got the second 20 minutes from time. And it was, you know, we were never coming back from that. We would never have come back from 1-0, let alone 2-0. We only had one reasonable chance where we hit the post in the whole game. The only real thing that I think of note that is worth probably mentioning in this is the substitutions, which we were, like I said, 1-0 down from with 40 minutes to go and 2-0 down with 20 minutes to go. And we had a striker on the bench and we didn't bring him on.
Hmm.
We made three substitutions, all of them like for like. And no striker coming on. And for me, it just raised a couple of eyebrows of, did we actually want to put in a big shift in that game? Because we had, I mean, it was Zach Robinson, who's an under 18 on the bench, as the only striker on the bench. But surely at 2-0 down, 20 minutes to go, it's a cup tie. Why not bring him on? What are we going to lose by bringing him on? Giving him experience. I mean, worst case scenario, he's made a proper, I know he played against Southend, but it's his proper debut. His opportunity to try and do something, and he might snatch a goal, and we might try and do something. But like I said, I didn't get why we didn't bring Zach Robinson on, because we, like I said, that game could still be going on, and I don't think we would have scored.
Mm.
So the subs didn't make complete sense for me. But like I said, maybe there was half a mind on Gillingham, which we were able to come, and obviously we did win that game. But the subs on the night at Doncaster didn't make a lot of sense.
No Marcus Force either, mate. Still not in the side.
He's cup-tied. He managed to play against Gillingham. He didn't look 100% against Gillingham, actually, which is obviously a slight concern, unless we're trying to make it look like he's injured so Brentford don't recall him. But he didn't look 100% against Gillingham. He was, you know, Brentford made him unavailable for the Doncaster game. So, and the meet of the manager, which we're going to talk about later, there were a couple of comments about him there.
I really wish that we'd maybe just created some sort of bet, because you said double figures in League One, didn't you, by the time
the year was out. I was convinced. Oh, I'm very much not convinced right now.
Okay, just to finish, and we'll touch on that FA Cup debate that we just had, because Mark Hendricks has said regionalise the first and second rounds with seeding would be excellent. In Germany, they forced non-league clubs and lower league clubs to play home at first. Oh, okay, we've also got some more audio from Glyn Hodges. Producer Dave tells me. Here it is.
I think clearly chances. I thought first half, you know, we were really good, I felt, and hit the post, and maybe one or two other efforts that went close. But I mean, you know, there was you take that chance. We take one of them chances. You know, we need to get our noses in front. And to be fair, over the two ties, I felt, you know, we should have probably won the tie in the first game. We could, again, it's that second goal again. Maybe get that one goal. We got to get a second goal. We didn't. They pegged us back, and you know, they're a good side. Once they get their nose in front, you know, they got some excellent players.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
AFC Wimbledon fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with George Jones of the 9 Years podcast. And before the ads, we read out a tweet from Mark Hendricks about the FA Cup. George and I have been having a bit of discussion about what would make the FA Cup better. My argument being that George is slightly bitter because AFC Wimbledon went out. But of course, that is wrong. But Mark said about regionalising the first and second rounds with seeding. Of course, he's very knowledgeable about the game in Germany. They forced non-league clubs and lower league clubs to play home at first.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what you need, because it means you do get more ties of, like, when we were away to Haringey last year, You know, those are the cards, the local derbies, when you've got a small non-league side playing at a very small stadium, hosting a biggish football league club. Those are the ties, that the magic of the cup. They're what the FA Cup is about. And I think if you regionalise it, if you seed it, I think that just means that it's more chance that those magic of the cup games happen, and you have less chance of us having to play, you know, like Wimbledon versus Doncaster. No one's excited about that. Or had we played Sunderland in the next round, or even with us playing Gillingham, had we beaten Doncaster? No one, neither side's really excited about that. So straight away you've got four Football League sides who are just, you know, their interest in the cup's pretty much gone by the end of round two. And I think the regionalisation thing and the seeding things, I think it's a really good thing, and I really hope the FA look at it.
OK, well, perhaps they will. It's a campaign from George Jones and Mark Hendricks starts right here. We have got another tweet in from 50 Shades of Graham as well. I like that Twitter handle. That's a good one. He has just said, could we give a big shout out to all who came along to give Wally Downs a big send off at the Alex Pub in Wimbledon last night? Tip of the hat to Dave Besant. Absolutely. Paul Fishenden, Glyn Hodges, Vaughan Ryan, Mark Robinson, Nick Dawes, and the best fans in the land. The fans clubbed together to get him a commemorative Great Escape plaque. Brilliant. A Tag Monaco watch and a bespoke card with fan messages. Of course, Wally's at the Wheel was a regular theme through the evening.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where after the game yesterday, the fundraising thing a lot of our fans did to try and raise money for a leaving gift for Wally Downs, who left the club last month. They presented him with this, and a lot of the coaching staff went. A lot of his mates from old Wimbledon went. And it sounded like it was a really good evening with a lot of fans, and it was in good spirit. And I'm glad to see Glyn Hodges and, you know, members of our first team staff there and supporting Wally and trying to bring together the fan base over an issue which, let's be honest, it split the fan base when Wally left. And it's really good that the current staff are now trying to unify that by bringing in Wally supporters and just saying, we're all still together, we're all still Wimbledon, despite what's happened. Let's try and move on from this and try and keep up this season.
Yeah, very important. I'm sure they were Magaluf shuffling all the way into the night. Right, George, we are going to move on now to your favourite part of any show that has ever existed, the Academy and Development Squad update. First up, an FA Youth Cup review.
Yeah, we played Hamworth Villa away on Monday night, and again, it's one of those magic of the cup ties. It's happened before. A couple of years ago, we played Marlow in this competition, and for these towns, like, I mean, pretty much, it was a very big crowd. I think a local said to me it was five times their average senior home game attendance for an under-18s game. And that's what the FA Youth Cup's about. It's about getting professional academies into these teams, playing these games. And, I mean, we ran out 5-1 winners. It was pretty comfortable in the end. It was a clinical performance. The boys played well. Five goals, five goal scorers. You know, it's pretty much all we could ask for on the night. I mean, we did concede one, but one of those things where it gave the locals something to be happy about leaving the ground. And I mean, there was very nearly a delayed kickoff because the crowds were still queuing up to get in. And for us, our boys playing in that stadium, you know, everyone's close to the pitch. I mean, it was one of those grounds where it was main stand on one side, flat standing all around the edge. There wasn't many gaps between people around the whole edge of the pitch.
Really?
Yeah. And it's that's what it's about, playing in front of a crowd which are trying to make a bit of noise, playing in front of, you know, near enough was, but it's at least 10 times what they play in front of on a normal morning. So for them, they would have learned so much from that game. And we've been rewarded with a very interesting tie away at Sheffield United at Bramall Lane in the next round. So that's another experience for them. You know, going and playing at a big stadium in front of hopefully a big crowd. Hopefully we'll be able to travel up in good numbers, make a bit of noise up there. It is on the 17th of December, so it is a bit close to Christmas. But hopefully, you know, the FA Youth Cup, we do well in this. Hopefully we can beat Sheffield United and go on another good run in that this year.
It's yin and yang.
Yeah.
You talking about the FA Cup Senior compared to the FA Youth Cup is yin and yang.
But the FA Youth Cup, this is the tie that I'm talking about, the magic of the cup. Mm-hmm. Us away to a London non-league side. This is what, you know, like I said, when we played Haringey, the first team last season, these are the ties that the FA Cup and the FA Youth Cup are about. So those are the ties that should be happening. That's what Mark Hendricks suggested, you know, with the regionalisation and the seedings. Those make these ties more likely to happen. And that will only help grow both the Senior Cup and the Youth Cup.
It's huge as well, isn't it? Because they'll learn from this. Once you start playing in front of these crowds, it will only stand them in good stead. And of course, we speak about it many times, the vision that Glyn Hodges has of having, you know, 11 players coming through the academy in the first team is the type of thing that only these games will help produce.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like you said, I mean, it's the pathway. You play in front of 300, 400, 500 people in the FA Youth Cup. You then play in front of that many people in a London Senior Cup or a Surrey Senior Cup game. You know, but you're playing against men rather than boys. You then play in a, you know, a Leasing.com or a Checkatrade Trophy, whatever we're meant to call it this week. Again, same crowd, but in a bit more of a competitive environment.
Leasing.com, mate, that's the sponsor. It's not the Checkatrade anymore.
No, well, it said Checkatrade on the Southend United ticket, so...
No!
Yeah.
Did it really?
Yeah, sorry if the EFL haven't noticed that, Southend. I think I might have just dubbed you in that one.
Sorry, mate, I apologise for... I thought you were just being a bit silly. No, but no, really, that's what it was on the tickets. Yes, that's so unbelievable.
That's how seriously they take it. They can't even print the right competition names on it. But it's, again, it's that pathway of, it's the first step for them going from the 18th to the first team. And it brings a lot of attention. I mean, I know a lot of fans who don't normally pay any attention to the academy and noticing it and always notice it during the FA Youth Cup run. So it's getting them to know the players, getting them to know, you know, your KJ Osu who scored, your Ali Basal who was suspended. You know, those players, it's the last step for them before they go from the academy into the first team. And it'll be great to see, and it's so, so important for their development in the FA Youth Cup.
Okay, any other news to report?
Yeah, the 18s obviously played yesterday as well. They beat Southend 3-0, fairly comfortable game. They're third now in their league, which it does split, I think, in very early January. I think they only play one game after Christmas in that league before it splits. And we're already 9 points clear of the split. So we're in a good position. Hopefully we can kick on after Christmas and try and do well. I mean, we lost out in the final day of the season to win the league last year. Hopefully we can go one step further in that. But Ayub Asal came back from his suspension and managed to score yesterday. And from what I've heard about Ayub Asal, is doing very well. And I think a lot of our fans will be pleased when they hear, you know, if they can find out what his suspension was for. I think it would please a lot of fans.
Okay, and a loan watch too.
Yeah, the loan watch, again, it's one of those where, because of the fact we've had a Senior Cup game and Leasing.com trophy game, all of the loan players had to come back so we could effectively play those games with those players. But they're starting to go back out now. Finlay McNabb and Tommy Wood, who did score against Southend, have both gone back to Leatherhead. Burt White, who's the under-18s goalie, has gone out on loan, as has David Fisher, who scored in both FA Youth Cup games this season, actually. They've both gone out on loan to clubs round about the Ryman level. And again, it's another step on that development, playing men's football week in, week out. And this is something the club hasn't done before this season. And I think a lot of the young players who our academy has produced in the past have missed out by not playing men's football till they're 19, 20, 21. Mm. By then, they've missed the stage of their development when they need to be doing it.
Okay. And lastly, a Molesey preview.
Yeah, Molesey. We're playing Molesey on Tuesday night in the Surrey Senior Cup. Again, it'll be one of those. It'll be a couple of first-team fringe players who need the minutes and a couple of kids going in. It's the first year, actually, in a very long time we've entered both the Surrey and London Senior Cups. But it'll be a good opportunity for try and get a bit of a crowd there, again, playing in front of a crowd, and for some of our fans to see the young players in a bit more of a competitive environment. And it's a reasonably attractive game in the next round, as is the London round, if we get past either Greenwich Borough or Cray Valley, who play in the London one in 2 weeks' time.
I accidentally ran to Molesey once. Stupid. I got off the train to watch Man of Steel at the cinema, and I can't even remember where it was, but I got my directions completely mixed up, thought I was late for the cinema, ran about 5K to Molesey in the wrong direction. Had to get in a cab to go back to where I originally was.
Yeah.
So Molesey, not great memories for me.
No, I don't think anyone's got any good memories of ever going to Molesey.
But from one Man of Steel to another, we are going to be hearing plenty more from George Jones after this.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
AFC Women and Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with George Jones from the 9 Years podcast, chuckling away as he always is during those ads. George, you met the manager during the week.
Yeah, it was the Meet the Manager event on Thursday night at Kings Meadow. Always a good laugh. It's Glyn's first one, which he's done as manager. And it was a really interesting evening. Nick Dawes was there as well. They spoke at length about recruitment and about tactics and what we need to try and survive this season and where we can go from it. I, for one, was, and everyone I've spoken to, was very impressed with Nick Dawes. Nick Dawes came across very, very well, very knowledgeable about the game and very in tune to what we need as a club and where we should be going. But like I said, a lot came up. Apologies in advance to Mark Hendricks, because I will mention the budget. So apologies to Mark Hendricks about
that.
You got
it, mate. You got to do it.
Yeah. So Mark, the budget this year was talked about at length because basically it was basically given the reason as to why the recruitment hasn't happened the way we wanted it to happen. because of the fact that we've got very little money. We're in that awkward position now of being in League One where we can't match sides like Peterborough, who were going for the top players of non-league, and the rest of the players who we can afford are not League One standard. So we're in that, you know, ground where recruitment is pretty much impossible for where we are. And that was mentioned as the reason we didn't sign a number nine target man, why maybe we missed out on one or two other targets over the summer. But it was talked about at length, and it was mentioned on Thursday, obviously it was after the Doncaster game, that without the money that the FA Cup run does provide, we would be probably looking at pretty much exclusively loanees come January. And that was the other thing, because obviously the word, what we've been talking about pretty much in September, Marcus Forss and will he go back? The other thing that was talked about was obviously, I mean, it wasn't talked about a huge amount, but it was hinted that it's entirely down to Brentford and we're sort of half expecting him to go back unless he's picked up again and they think he could win sort of a League One golden boot. Because from their point of view, then all of a sudden he becomes an asset which they can sell. But from what they're really thinking is more about Max Sanders, who's out of contract at Brighton at the end of the season, and whether Brighton are going to want to recall him, have a look at him for the second half of the season, and whether we'll be able to manage to keep hold of Ryan Delaney for the second half of the season with Rochdale, who are obviously in trouble, and whether they'd want to give one of their relegation rivals a high-quality centre-half for an extra half of the season.
Contracts?
Contracts was also mentioned. Sorry about that. Contracts was mentioned, and it was something which... It was really expanded on what Wally said in his previous one of the club in the past have made a huge number of mistakes, basically saying that we've given players two-year contracts, let them run it down, and lost that player for free. But what he's saying is really the club are going to try and operate in a position where they're going to be giving out three-year contracts or two-year plus ones. And if it gets anywhere near that final year of that contract and we don't have an option, we're going to sell them if they're not going to renew. Which is something the club have finally learned from the issues of Lyle Taylor, Tom Elliott, any number of players who we've lost for free over the last 3-4 years. It's been a problem and we've lost so much revenue because of it. And it's just something that was really, really needs to be worked on. And it looks like the club have finally learned a lesson from that. So that was good news for everyone. The other thing that was talked about actually was really interesting was the overseas friendly matches.
You must be buzzing about this because surely you must love the idea of going abroad in the summer to watch your team play away. Listen, so many clubs love doing this. We've all got mates who go abroad on a bit of a jolly because it's great seeing your team play a random Bulgarian Division 3 side and you get to go to Bulgaria and have a bit of a session.
But it's one of those where this year we went to Germany. Obviously, we play kickers off and back on the Saturday.
Of course.
We played Kaiserslautern in some random place in the middle of nowhere on the Friday night. You know, complete, you know, memory of a lifetime experiences that weekend. And it's one of those where it was mentioned, it was very clear that we're planning on doing that again this year, going to Germany. Whether it will be the same teams, I don't know. But I think it was made clear a lot of contacts were made on that trip. And it's something that the club would definitely want to do in the future because getting the minute into everyone's feet, getting the team bonding, all of those things which are so important in modern football. Even a club of our size and our budget, you really have to be doing one or two overseas tours in the summer.
Okay, this is something that's cropped up many times on the podcast today already. And I hope you had a word about this, George Jones, because it was touchline manner. Now, was this a question directed to Glyn Hodges or directed to you?
This was one directed towards Glyn Hodges. Sad, surprisingly, not to myself. What it was is, it was talking about, you know, how does he behave on the touchline? Is he going to be one of these where he's in the fourth official's ear, which obviously we know he is. He's constantly trying to win us decisions from the dugout. And he basically did say one of the reasons he did pick Nick Dawes as his assistant is because Nick is very calm and restrained on the touchline, and he does need someone to hold him back effectively at times, which is why he didn't want someone who would be just as excitable on the touchline alongside him, because then everyone would get into loads of trouble. But like I said, I'm very impressed with the way Glyn behaves on the touchline, of he knowing when to stop arguing with a fourth official, but knowing when arguing with a fourth official will get you a decision later in a game. And that's what Neil Ardley couldn't do. Terry Brown wasn't great at it. Even Wally was very much a restraint on the touchline. And that, I can't help but think that cost us a couple of games over the last few years, just not constantly being in the ref's ear. Because we all know that if you have a go at referee enough, he will give you a decision, just because they do, especially in the lower leagues. And I think Lynn's got trying to get that balance right. And I think it's, I mean, we saw with at the end with the sending off on Saturday. I can't imagine that player gets sent off if Glyn hadn't been in the fourth official's ear the whole game. And for me, that's very exciting that we're getting decisions like that go our way rather than just against us.
George Jones. Who would have thought it? George Jones, someone in favour of the dark arts of football. I never thought I'd hear the day. But you're right, and he's bang on about having an assistant manager who can kind of be that leveller. Because we'll refer to Steve Evans in this. We've seen for many years Steve Evans with Paul Rayner beside him as well. And listen, you want to say stuff about Steve Evans. I think I said this last week. I've encountered him. He was always pleasant to me. So I don't have too many bad things to say about him. And of course, I wouldn't. And Paul Rayner, however, all I ever saw on the touchline was him just jumping up and down, running up and down. He wasn't a leveller at all. He was almost like Steve Evans' little cat. He'd go, go on in, go and do your stuff.
And that's why those two constantly get into trouble and other managers who are nearly as bad as Evans get away with it because they'll have someone to, you know, effectively tell the manager to go and sit down in 5 minutes and then go out again because he can see when the fourth official's going to get the ref to come over. Because I think Glyn's been in charge for, I think it's his third home game since Glyn came in as either caretaker or permanent. And I've already seen the referee come over to speak to him at least twice. And for me, that's something which you always want to see because it means the manager's doing something on the touchline. He's engaged in the game. He's fighting for his team, fighting for his players. And we haven't seen that under previous managers.
And lastly, you touched on last season.
Yeah, he touched on and basically he came in and said, because it was really about what was the attitude around the camp going into the run-in last season. Were we confident? Were we worrying? Were we panicking? How were we behaving, you know, at the training ground? And Glyn said something which surprised me, and that was that it was very relaxed. It was one of those that because of, like we said, when we came in and did this show at the back end of last season, where pretty much for the whole season, in our heads, we were already gone. We were relegated. We weren't coming back. And he said that lifted all of the pressure off us because we were written off by everyone. So there was no pressure on the players. So it meant even when the pressure was back on going into that final game away to Bradford, the players were all very relaxed, very comfortable, not stressed out very much at all, he said. And that's just, that's how you win those games. Because if you go into those games a ball of energy, it never ends well. But if you go in calm, constrained, knowing that we go in here, we get a point, we stay up, which is what happened, it's one of those where it does help. And I think it was very interesting to hear talking about the attitude around the camp at the end of the season.
Okay. Well, it is Bolton next week on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show,
George.
2 weeks'
time.
We'll be back, 2 weeks' time, of course. We'll be back next week to have a chat about everything but football, I suppose. I'm sure you'll have some many topics that we can discuss, George. And actually, one of those, which we may discuss, I just want to get your opinion on Colin Weir, Euro Millions winner. That is a story I'm sure you're in favour of. Partick Thistle.
Yeah, it's one of these things where it has, you always want it. Every club, especially in the lower league, dreams of one of their fans winning the Euro Millions and giving the club a lot of money or buying the club out to give to a supporters trust or something. And you have to admire him, the fact that he hasn't just bought it out and run it as a fan like I know a number of other lottery winners have done. Giving it to the supporters trust means that the club will benefit short term and long term, and that's going to be great for wider football. Hopefully more will follow his tracks.
Great. And plans for next Saturday, mate? What are you going to do?
I have no idea yet. I'll probably attend a local game.
Lovely stuff. This has been the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport. We'll be back same time next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.